It's Jake Volnick with you guys. And as we move on from the quarterback big board, which of course you can check out at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, it is time to transition to talking about some more of what the Browns can do at the top of the draft and throughout. And there's no better person to talk to about that than our next guest. It is Max Chadwick of PFF, NFL draft over there, college football. He's the host of their college football show, co-host there. And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Max, how are you doing?
Good, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Listen, when you have the number two pick in the draft, at least you have something to look forward to. From January and getting past the Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl down to all the way into April.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys are pretty well set up with the number two overall pick in this draft. I think it's a fascinating selection because, you know, some teams around you, like the Titans and Giants, that maybe need to take a quarterback. Browns also have a quarterback in need, but I don't know if they're going to actually take it with that number two overall pick.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's dive right into it. You put out a mock draft earlier this week, and at number two, you had the Browns with both quarterbacks still on the board going Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders. In your estimation there and sort of your first edition of it, why Cam over Shedeur for the Browns specifically?
Yeah, well, first of all, number one, I don't know if Deion Sanders is going to let Shedeur go to Cleveland. There has been talk before about there are certain franchises that Deion will not let Shedeur play for. I have to wonder if Cleveland is one of them. So that kind of played a part in it, one. And then also, two, Cam, I think, has a little bit of a higher ceiling than Shedeur Sanders. I think Shedeur does have a higher floor than Cam Ward. But I think if I'm Cleveland, you know, Deshaun Watson retore his Achilles, most likely going to be out for all of 2025 as well. You're probably trying to hit the reset button and try to get back to the top. And what is a loaded division right now, right, with the Bengals and the Ravens and the Steelers. So, yeah, I think Cam Ward makes some sense at number two overall, but like I said, they absolutely could be going non-quarterback as well.
So looking at the quarterbacks, would you consider either of these two guys right now to sort of be NFL-ready in starters that can, day one, you plug the guy in as your quarterback, and you could potentially be looking at winning football games?
I would probably say those two are guys that could potentially start day one. I the way I would compare them to is what last year had. We had kind of the top tier quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May. They're not in that tier. I would put them in the second tier where we had J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. I'd probably put them in that tier. So preferably don't start them right away, but the way that this draft's kind of looking right now, it seems like both Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, wherever they go, most likely both in the top three, I think both of them will probably need to start right away for the teams.
All right. It's an interesting thing. I mean, a lot of interest with, as you already mentioned, the Titans and the Giants going around. There's obviously been the Titans saying they're not going to pass on a generational player, which, if we know anything about these quarterbacks, probably wouldn't be those two. I mean, would you consider either of these two guys, when you look at the talent within the first round and at the top of the draft, as truly being worth a top two pick?
I would say, if you're just saying who the best football players in the draft are, probably not. But in the case of the, you know, Titans and the Browns and even the Giants, like I think they're almost necessarily the happy top three picks. Then the one thing about the NFL draft that's different than any other draft in sports is that not all positions are really created equal, right? So, you know, we have a stat called wins above replacement at PFF. Quarterbacks, on average, are four times more valuable than any other position in football. So they're going to go in the top three out of necessity, really. So I think they're definitely not some of the best quarterback prospects we've seen, and they absolutely aren't generational talents or anything like that. But at the same time, I still think both those guys are probably going to be top three picks.
So, Max, you kind of laid it out where you would put the top two quarterbacks compared to last year's draft. Obviously, there's been a ton of talk about, like, these guys coming in, they wouldn't even be within the top five. They'd be like the top six going into last year's class. How much of that is sort of a skew in your mind of just last year's class being really good and people using that and sort of twisting it to these quarterbacks being bad versus them just actually not being as talented beyond just being in that second level?
Yeah, I do think there's an argument for both of them to be anywhere from the fourth or sixth range. I don't think it's necessarily a lock that both of them would be below all three of the guys I just mentioned before. I could see it, right? I would say that the top six of last year's draft was unbelievably good, right? It's one of the deepest quarterback classes we've had at least in my lifetime, and we even saw it pay dividends early, right? You saw, obviously, Jaden Daniels, maybe the best rookie quarterback of all time. Drake May had a lot of really encouraging flashes in what is a bad situation in New England. Caleb Williams, remains to be seen, but you still saw some encouraging flashes from him as well. And then Michael Penix Jr., when he came in, he looked awesome. Bo Nix had a really good rookie year as well. JJ McCarthy, we'll see what happens with him, but I think in that situation, he could be really good. So it was one of the best rookie quarterback classes we've had in a very, very long time, in my opinion. I think it's certainly maybe not as good as definitely not as good as last year's, but I think Cam Ward and George Sanders are still very good quarterback prospects that would have been somewhere close to at least the second tier of guys last year.
Max Chadwick, a football analyst for PFF, as well as a co-host for PFF's College Football Show, with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, if you could probably imagine in Cleveland, it is not the most clear-cut thing what everybody wants to do. It's not, hey, give us Shador, give us Cam. A lot of people want to trade back. A lot of people would rather have Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. There's a million things going around. But when I ask you at quarterback, what would you say that the gap between the top two guys and then down to Jalen Milroe and then even the gap down to the next quarterback, what does that look like?
It is a massive gap between the top two guys and anyone else. If you're Cleveland, you're basically either taking Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, or you're not taking a quarterback at all in this year's class, or at least one that you think could potentially be a starting quarterback. I think there's two guys I feel good about that at least get a good chance to be a starter in this league, and that's Cam Ward or Shador Sanders. There is not another starting quarterback, I think, in this draft right now, the way you look at it. I was actually just at the Senior Bowl, where a lot of guys that are competing to be QB3 in the draft we're at, and I'll tell you right now, there is a pretty massive gap between them and Shador Sanders and Cam Ward right now. So that is why, if your Cleveland quarterback is on the board at number two overall, because of how big of a need it is. And like I said, there's not going to be a guy outside of those two that I feel comfortable saying, oh yeah, he'll be a starter in the NFL.
Okay, so you're at the Senior Bowl. I have to ask, because this is a name that's come up several times, and I have to get your opinion on it. We'll get back to sort of the top of the draft, but this is going to be a little bit lower. I've heard multiple things on Tyler Shugg, I believe is the way you say it. It's a Louisville quarterback. I've seen people saying now that he could go within the top three to four quarterbacks. He played well, and maybe the media coming around to where teams are on him. Sort of what say you on that? Has he shot up boards? Is this sort of just early draft talk and people boosting him up and just, I don't want to say uneducated opinion, but the opinion that is just sort of out there? Or is this a real deal?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a top three to four quarterback in this draft. But even then, if you want to have him as number three or four quarterback, I mean, like I said before, I don't think the number three quarterback in this draft for me, I might take in the third round, right? It's not like usually in past drafts where the number three quarterback is still a first-round pick and in some cases the top five pick in the draft. I wouldn't take QB3 in this draft until probably the third, maybe even fourth round, really. So you could like Tyler Shuck, and there is stuff to like there, but he's a long-term backup, in my opinion. He's a seventh-year player as well, so he's much older than a lot of most prospects. But he is tall. He's got a good arm. But this is really the one good year we've seen from him. In his previous 6 years in college football, it wasn't very good from Tyler Shuck. So it was a lot better this year, but I still don't think he's top five quarterback in this class right now. And I probably pumped the brakes a little bit on that QB3 or QB4 talk.
All right, that's pretty much where I felt on it. I was just making sure that we could that there was, he sort of came out of nowhere. Like I was assuming he was near the bottom of the draft, like a 6th, 7th round pick, if anything. And then I saw things today saying he could be the third quarterback off the board. He could be a potential pick in the third round. And I was like, okay, I don't know how we got here. I've never heard of this kid, and he's 26. What happened? But as we look down the draft, I know you said you feel like none of these quarterbacks are sort of starters. If you were to pick out one guy that could maybe be a sleeper who would come through and surprise you, if you had to put your finger on one of those guys below the top two, who do you think it would be?
I think the only one I think that even has like a real chance to be a starter is Jalen Milroe, only because of the physical tools. But, I mean, I was there in Mobile. He is a long, long ways away. I don't think he's really a sleeper, though. One guy that I think is going to stick around in the NFL for a very long time as a career backup is probably Dylan Gabriel. That was also the Senior Bowl. Now, he's obviously small. He's like 5'10" at the position. Not really a great arm either, but he's accurate. He's decisive. He has good timing. He's going to be a guy that I think if your starter ever gets hurt, he could come in immediately and just run the offense the way he's designed at a pretty decent level. So I like Dillon Gabriel from Oregon. Again, I don't think he's a starter at all in the NFL because his physical tools just really aren't there with him. But I think he's a guy that has been in college football for a very long time. He just really gets it. And he's a guy that I think could come in and, like I said, run your system at a pretty good level.
So, Max, we've had a lot of talk on the quarterback so far here. I want to try to sort of transition then to the other side of the draft. Between the top two guys that I think everybody points to as a potential at the number two pick if the Browns are going to take one that isn't a quarterback, what's sort of the read on Abdul Carter versus Travis Hunter from a pure talent perspective?
I think Travis Hunter is the best football player in the draft, but I don't think Abdul Carter is too far behind. So I think, in my opinion, Travis Hunter should be the first non-quarterback off the board, and even his argument to be he should be the first first player taken, period. He's the greatest two-way player I've ever seen, right? He legitimately was one of the best receivers in the country this year and one of the best corners at the same time, which is absolutely ludicrous. He's a Shohei Ohtani of college football, honestly. So we just never really seen this before. I don't know what he'll be doing in the NFL. I would say you could still try him out at both if you could do it because he's that rare of a football player. But he's truly special. And then Abdul Carter, I mean, he's only played on the edge 1 year, and he was immediately the best edge in college football. He's got freak traits as well, so there's a high ceiling with him as well. Yeah, I think he's a really, really good football player. And I know the comparison is obvious with Michael Parsons, considering they both play the same position at Penn State, both start off as linebacker and then move to edge. Both wore number 11, both freak athletes. I know it's kind of a way too easy comparison, but you have to say, like, yeah, there is Micah Parsons level traits there with a guy like Abdul Carter. We all know how good Micah Parsons is in the NFL right now. So I wouldn't blame the Browns for taking either of those guys at number two overall. But like I said, I think I'm going to have Travis Hunter as the best football player in the draft for me.
I like it. As we talk about Travis Hunter, just how realistic do you think it is? I know you sort of laid out a little bit there, but that he could legitimately play both sides of the ball at a, I don't want to say like 100% rate, but, you know, almost as a part-time to full-time guy and not just in like set packages, because I feel like that's something that people have already sort of ruled out, that he almost has to pick one or the other and play the whatever position he doesn't fully come out as is like a very limited participation.
Yeah, I personally think he's probably going to be a full-time corner that comes in for like 15 to 20 snaps at receiver every game, which is still very a good amount, right? So I don't know if he could do both at that kind of level in the NFL. One, it's way more physical of a game than college football is. The toll on the body would be a lot more than in college football. Also, way more games than college football as well, right? So, and then number two, the playbooks in the NFL are way more complicated than they are in college football as well. So the physical and mental toll of playing two positions at a high level is pretty insane. So I don't know if you can be a full-time guy at both, but if you're going to be, you know, a full-time guy at one and then also play, you know, packages at the second, I don't think you could be a packages guy at corner. I think he's got to be a full-time corner that can come in for, you know, a few plays at wide receiver in every game. So, again, he's special. He might be able to do both. Maybe I look dumb for saying this, but I think I would probably say he's a full-time corner that plays, you know, 20 snaps a game at wide receiver.
All right. I like it as a potential. I mean, he's not one of the guys that I'm highlighting that I desperately want, but if it's a possibility, I don't mind it. Is the Browns look forward here and the potential to trade back is a legitimate option for them? At what point do trading back, do they take themselves out of the top-tier talent in the 2025 class? Like, what pick number do you think you sort of start to get away from that?
I actually think it's a pretty good cutoff where you have the Las Vegas Raiders, who probably would be a likely trade partner for the Browns. I think at number six overall, that makes a lot of sense to me. Is, oh yeah, you can still get a really good football player at number six overall, and a football player that would help out the Cleveland Browns a lot, right? So I think that somewhere in the top 10, if they could stay in there, that to me is a pretty good range to be in. And then obviously if someone's trading up with the Browns, it's most likely going to be to ensure they can get either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. So I would imagine it would be a team like maybe the Giants trade up one spot to ensure they get a quarterback, or the Raiders trade up a few spots to get the quarterback. Those would be some of those teams. And then if the Browns do decide to do that, which I think actually probably the smartest course of action for them is to trade down from number two, they still end up with a really good football player that can help out the team next year.
I like it. I like it. We'll use this one to get you out of here, Max. And again, Max Chadwick, PFF, with us here on the hotline. The Browns come in with four picks within the first three rounds of the draft. What positions do you think are sort of the deeper positions that you could look at that they could find some starting level talent in some of those later spots, but still early on in the draft?
Yeah, one of the reasons why I like Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter, I think it's a really deep edge class. I think that they can get a really good player early in the second round as well. That could be a starter for them opposite of Myles Garrett. So edge is really, really deep. Running back is incredibly deep. Might be the deepest running back class I can remember. Those are two positions I think could really, really be had for a lot of guys at the top of the draft. Even deeper into like day three of the NFL draft, there could be guys that people still are able to start in the NFL as well. So defensive line, running back, those are some of the deeper positions that I think we have in this draft.
All right, I like it. He's Max Chadwick of PFF. I really appreciate you taking out the time of your week and sitting down with us and having a conversation, Max. Looking forward to do it again sometime.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.